Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to basically welcome you to another edition here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. So I first want to thank my Heavenly Father for, again, waking me up this morning. And I also want to thank my loyal listeners who have been basically following me and listening as we've been sharing and talking about a lot of different types of information. So today's topic is going to be very interesting, as we're basically going to be piggybacking off of last week's topic as we talked about sex addiction. And I'm bringing this topic back by demand of a lot of my listeners, as a lot of my listeners wanted more information in regards to sex addiction, behaviors, and things of that nature, and also not only from just a worldly perspective, but also from a Christian perspective. So I want to basically give a disclaimer indicating that we are in no way here trying to embarrass anyone, offend anyone. We know that people are not perfect. And this topic is of a topic of concern because it's not only affecting just adults, but it's also affecting teenagers, kids, and a lot of different individuals. And it's something that's really, really becoming and getting out of control. And as a licensed therapist, my way of giving back and helping individuals is to basically be the one who's willing to go out in the forefront and address some of these issues. So I don't know if I lost one of my guests, but look like someone hung up. But I do have another person that just logged on. So today's topic, we're basically going to be talking about love, sex, the flesh, and healthy sexuality. So I'm going to join these callers on. Don't know if it's my guest, but give me 1 second. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, thank you. I was just calling to listen in. I had my phone muted. That's what took me a minute to get to you. I was on mute already, but I just wanted to listen.
Okay, no problem. Well, I'll just put you on the mute then. So you can also, if you have an iPhone or anything of that nature, you can listen that way too without just even calling in. So that's another way you can listen. A lot of individuals don't know that. You can just click on the link on your phone, and it'll also take you straight to the show where you can listen to the show live, because right now I have you on the air.
I may press the 1 button if I want to ask a question, though. I'm just kind of tuning in for the very first time, so I'm trying to catch up from where you left off last week.
Okay.
I'm hearing you say.
Let me join the other caller. Give me a second.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome. Hello, thank you. I'm waiting on my other person. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Jeanette. This is Heather Sigwin.
No problem. Okay, so my first guest is on the air with me, and her name is Heather Sigwin. So I want to introduce Heather. Heather is basically a licensed therapist. In addition to being a licensed therapist, she's also specialized in sex addiction. She was on the air with me last week, and we talked about quite a few things. And you know what, Heather? I want to thank you for placing in my spirit to come back and do this show also again. But it's interesting because I've been getting a lot of phone calls from people and emails and text messages talking about, Jeanette, where are you going with this? Jeanette, what are you trying to do? What you trying to expose? And I'm like, I'm not trying to expose anything. The bottom line is this is a topic and a subject that really, really needs to be talked about. And I also want to share with you, Heather, that what I found was so funny was when I woke up Sunday morning, I had my TV on the Word channel. And when it was on the Word channel, there was a pastor on there preaching, and he was from, his name was Steve Myers, and he's a pastor in Ohio with United Church of God. And he had another person on there, and he was talking about the same thing we were talking about. So that kind of gave me confirmation, thinking, you know what, this is something that's really out of control, to where other people are kind of afraid to approach it. And one of the things that I also received an email and a question was about was how it needs to stop. So I want to thank you for also doing this with me. So, again, like I said, after last week's show, we did receive several comments, and that's why we're doing this. Many individuals, as we know, have their own views and attitude as it pertains to sex and sexual behavior. But like I said, this topic is not just to make people feel uncomfortable, but we want to provide information because individuals are dealing with certain things. And I received a statement, and the statement was made regarding how sex and silence of the church is crippling God's people. And then I thought about, not only is it crippling some individuals, but as a parent, a lot of parents don't know how to talk to their children about what we're talking about today with love, sex, the flesh, and healthy sexuality. So what is a parent to do? And not only what is a parent to do, what are the people in the church supposed to do when they start, these issues start coming out? Because many individuals have deviated, as we know, from the church. So I know everybody listening in our audience may not go to church, may not participate in church, and that's fine. So that's not where we're trying to go with this. But if we say something or you hear something that may touch your heart, you never know. So, Heather, what do you have to say in regards to this topic? What's your viewpoint on all of this?
Well, I think that, you know, just based on my experience as a therapist, whenever I have worked with clients who come from a faith-based perspective, you know, mostly Christianity, there's a lot of shame around sexuality. There's really a place where people feel stuck and they just don't know how to talk about it, what to talk about. You know, obviously, I specialize in sex addiction. And so sometimes people come in to see me and they think that they're a sex addict, when in reality, their sexuality is completely healthy and, you know, quote unquote, normal. But because the church has been silent, or because their parents didn't really teach them anything, they have all of this shame and confusion about what they should and shouldn't be doing. And, you know, I really think that the silence of the church and of parents, you know, the fear that we have about sexuality has really kept people from, you know, living to the fullest in just their regular lives, but especially in their sexual lives.
You know what, Heather, I find that to be true because my mother, and, you know, the show is called Precious Predicament, and the name Precious was my mother's nickname before she passed away, of breast cancer. So a lot of times I talk about my childhood, things that I've learned and things of that nature. If I myself, I'm also a licensed therapist, and I have two different corporations, one in where I work with individuals in the city of Fullerton, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, and then I'm also in Oceanside and in Marietta. So I do a lot of counseling, a lot of therapy stuff, and a lot of it is not only based on my experience, but also based on my godly wisdom and what I've learned in school in the field of psychology. But you know, Heather, one of the things I want to say is my mother, having three girls, and I was the oldest of three, my mother did not know how to talk to her daughters about sex, sexuality, and she confused us. I remember for a long time, my mother used to tell us she was going to get us spayed. And I didn't know that animals got spayed and neutered. And then she would say things about, and it was so confusing. She would say, when I go to work, I'm taking my pussy with me. And I'm like, well, what about us? You know, what are we supposed to do? So I was so scared. I didn't know what any of this stuff meant. So let's talk about the first one is love. When you're working with your clients, what do you teach them, or what do you find that some of the disconnect occurs with just love? What is that about?
You mean like love within a relationship?
Just love.
Or just
period.
Like love and love.
The person? You know what? You know what I'm telling you while I said love? I said love because a lot of people equate sex to love. And then some individuals,
right.
You know, you got rappers, you got people out there, you know, calling people name, and, you know, people have a different perspective and a different attitude about love. But some equate love to sex, meaning if I love you, I will show you I love you by having sexual intercourse with you. And you find that a lot of individuals start engaging in sexual practice by thinking that it's love. So let's explore just the word love a little bit. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that love is, you know, whether we're talking about, you know, self-love or love for another person, love for, you know, God or spirituality, comes from the deepest part of who you are. You know, there's a big difference between love and lust. You know, and, you know, when we start saying that love is sex, love is not sex. Sex is one expression of love, and sex is also an expression of lust. And so we really have to, you know, separate those terms. You know, lust is fueled by, you know, you're talking about the flesh, right? It is fueled, you know, within your body. It's an emotional connection. It can be a physical connection, you know, but love is surpassing all of that. You know, I think of love as, you know, the willingness to self-sacrifice, you know, to put someone else's needs above your own, you know, and self-love is about valuing yourself in a way that you would someone else. You know, so oftentimes, you know, we're taught to put other people before ourselves, and there's some good truth to that, and that's also an expression of love. But then there's that boundary where we say, you know, I also need to love myself by showing myself respect, giving myself time. You know, all of these things that we give to other people, we can also give to ourselves. So love is a more enduring quality that we see, you know, I think in the willingness to give to another person for their benefit so that they will, you know, have what they desire, but not in a way that's manipulative or detrimental to us.
And you know what? And love is an emotion. And with love being an emotion, and I just gathered some information, and it talked about there's a person that specializes in emotions, and love is also different for men than it is for women. Because sometimes with love comes intimacy, comes, you know, soothing care and comfort into sexual desires. So a lot of times we're learning that things that we were taught as a child, we kind of get it confused as when we enter into adulthood, because it starts running into each other, trying to differentiate between just those three things. Because if we can get to the core of what the love is about, and then start looking into the sex and the intimacy and the flesh, and then trying to figure out how do we develop healthy sexuality, because it's all tied in, but I can see that it's also separate components of it too. And a lot of this information is not taught, and a lot of times it's because we don't know how to teach it. What do you think about that?
How to teach love?
How to teach it? How do you teach love? Because like you said, self-love. How do you teach a person you need to love yourself? You need to care for yourself. You need to – a lot of people don't even know what that even means.
You know, and I think the primary way that we teach is through modeling, right? You know that phrase that it's caught more than taught? And I think that, you know, so we as therapists, you know, we're models, right? You know, we set limits and boundaries. You know, we know how to say yes and how to say no. And children, you know, you teach your children to love themselves by the way that you love them and by the way that you love yourself. And a lot of times that has to do with, you know, really just recognizing what you need. So say, for example, you know, I'm a mom with an infant. And, you know, sometimes for me that looks like getting a babysitter for a couple hours and just going off by myself for an hour or two. You know, just to, you know, take care of myself, go grab a cup of coffee and be able to sit quietly, you know, without my son needing me. And then that allows me to come back to my relationship with more energy because I've given myself that self-love. So I've both, you know, modeled it for him, that what it looks like to love yourself. I've also shown him what it's like to love him because I have a full cup now, right? You know, we know that phrase, you can't pour from an empty cup. And so that's what, I think that's how you show people how to love yourself is by practicing it. And that can be really hard when no one was there to model it for you. And so when I'm working with people where this is a new skill for them, you know, I say, you know, start small. Start with, you know, even if it, like, say that it's hard for you to say no, start by saying, let me get back to you, you know. And then that way you can practice that self-love that says, you know, I'm going to check my schedule. And I'm going to ask myself, is this something that I really want to do before I dive in? And then that way I can really engage and really be present with both myself and the people that I'm around. And that all gets back to loving yourself and loving others well.
And you know what? And it's interesting because, like I said, in regards to trying to teach sex education, I remember because I went to school, I was in a school around basically the 70s and the 80s. When they introduced sex education to students, a lot of individuals learned about sex from either older people, watching family members. I know last week we talked a lot about sex addictions, pornography, and we're going to get into all of that because all of that kind of plays a role. Because one of the things we're doing now, even as therapists, is we're trying to have individuals develop healthy sexualities. But in addition to that, we're kind of like teaching sex ed all over again. And when you're talking about sex education to individuals that feel that they know everything, they have to relearn certain things, and part of it is learning how to respect your body. Because a lot of the stuff that we see in regards to deviant or sexual behaviors is a lot of it has to do with respect for yourself. Now, when we talk about sex education, and like I said, as we know, there are some basic things. We talk about the birds and the bees and how much do you really know about what goes on in your body and your mind. And while individuals are falling head over heels during the deed, there's also some fascinating facts that individuals need to know about love and sex that also may surprise individuals. And one of the things it talks about is in regards to spouses or individuals may have similar DNA. So they indicate that scientists already know that people tend to choose romantic partners with similar characteristics. You know, when we start, even though love is an emotion, and we start looking for our partners or individuals to engage in sexual acts with, we look for people that have, whether the similar characteristics is age, race, religion, income, or and upbringing. But they also found that there are some individuals that even when you may marry or start dating, we find that that also start conflicting when we start talking about how people love. Have you ever, with some of your clients, ever did what's called the love language?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
What was your findings? And for those of you that don't know what the love language are, I'll let Heather explain that. What do you tell them about the love languages?
You know, I think that, so the there's a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, and it's been around for probably about a decade now. And, you know, so there are sometimes, you know, couples that I'm working with who've never heard of it before. And so I'll just briefly explain to them the love languages. So essentially we have, you know, physical touch, right? And this is non-sexual physical touch. So things like hand holding and hugs and things like that. Then there's words of affirmation. So things like, you know, I really appreciate that you did such and such, or you look so beautiful today. You know, those are words of affirmation. There's gifts. And that's not necessarily big gifts. It could just be even, you know, small trinkets and things like that, just those thinking of you kind of reminders. Then there's acts of service, you know, things like taking out the trash and watering the lawn. And then there's, oh, goodness, I'm blanking on the fifth one. Oh, quality time. Quality time is the fifth one. So that's the, you know, just, you know, sitting together on the couch having a conversation or going out for coffee, right? So what I find the most interesting about the love languages is that most of the time couples do not have the same language. And so, you know, one partner has been communicating their love through, say, acts of service, right? You know, they go to work, they come home, they, you know, take out the trash and do the dishes and, you know, they're doing all of these, you know, physical acts, right? And their partner communicates their love through words of affirmation, saying, I love you, you know, you look so handsome, you're so kind, you're so generous, you know. They're spewing these love sonnets, and these two partners don't feel connected because they're missing each other. Their languages don't match, you know. And so they might feel disconnected and unloved and, you know, frustrated because, you know, here I am doing all this stuff and my partner doesn't see it or acknowledge it. And the other partner saying, you know, my partner never says nice things to me. And so each person is trying to get the love that they want, but in their own language, not realizing that their partner is also communicating love. They just haven't been able to hear it. And so, you know, when I help couples start to notice those things, it opens this door that helps us realize, oh, you know, so when my partner does this, that's him or her showing their love for me. You know, when my partner wants to sit next to me on the couch and talk about their day, that's a way of expressing love. Like, it's not just, you know, shooting the breeze after work or, you know, being nosy. It's like, this is how they connect to me. This is how they show love. And you know, it really helps people to connect when they're able to
Correct.
Learn that we have different ways of expressing ourselves.
Gotcha. Okay, now I'm going to join our next guest who's going to join us today. Okay. Hello, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Okay, now I just clicked you on. Okay, so now we have
okay.
Pastor Larry Saul of Atmosphere Faith Christian Center Church in Vista. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me on today.
Okay, I am glad that you accepted the invitation because we wanted to talk about some of this stuff. And I want to thank you, like I said, for stepping out and helping us with this conversation. As I was sharing earlier with my listeners and the other guest that's on the air with me, I was telling her how when I started talking about this topic, how individuals was basically, Jeanette, you sure you want to do this? Jeanette, where are you going with this? Jeanette, what are you talking about? Because last week, as we were talking about sexual addictions and, you know, things of that nature, pornography and masturbation and all of this stuff, and we know a lot of it is happening, and a lot of times people don't know what to do. And, you know, we wanted to talk to and get more information, more insight, and then I was telling the listeners that I was watching the Word Channel Sunday morning when I woke up, and I was watching the, and it was the United Church of God, and it was Steve Myers and another pastor by the name of Roy, his last name is Fauch, and he's a clinical counselor and who has a PhD, and he was also talking about a lot of the behavior that's occurring in the church. And one of the things he was talking about is, you know, I heard him talk about spiritual discipline, and some people are super religious, but one of the things they said was that porn is a problem in the church, and it took me back to the flesh. So tell us, Pastor, what do you think about some of this stuff and behaviors and things of that nature?
Well, from different many aspects of it, I do agree that it is definitely a problem, especially with the church. I think that the church has gotten away from the morality of our faith, and rather we're getting more into just dealing with the issues of life as far as what go on in the exterior, as far as like what's going on in the communities. And a lot of like in my area, we deal with a lot of urban issues, so we
mm-hmm.
forget the home, and I think that's where we've lost our focus, is on dealing with the home, dealing with how we carry ourselves in our home, because the truth
mm-hmm.
is that everybody's changed. When everybody step out that door in the morning, they're not necessarily that same person that they are in the home. And
mm-hmm.
I think that, for instance, you can, you know, I went to get coffee this morning, rather at McDonald's, and they're so happy and joyous to take your order. But now how are they at home?
mm-hmm.
If I asked one of my kids to, hey, can you make me a cup of coffee at home? They'd look at me like, why you can't go in there and get it yourself? But if they were at work.
mm-hmm.
Because the attitude changed with the environment as well. So I think
Correct.
Like when it comes to the church, I think that we have a lack of spiritual discipline. But then on the other hand, we have a lack of spiritual discipline in the church because the church is not speaking spiritual discipline anymore. It seems as
mm-hmm.
though we're trying to correct the flesh. The fact of the matter is you can't correct the flesh. You got to correct
mm-hmm.
the spirit. We're
mm-hmm.
always preaching that it's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that's this. It's a spirit that's making you do this. Well, then why are you trying to correct my flesh? My flesh doesn't
mm-hmm.
want to be corrected. And as far as I understand, my Bible says that it's the flesh that war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they don't desire anything each one desires. So when I'm
mm-hmm.
dealing with my flesh and I'm dealing with my spirit, well, then we need to become more, our biblical theology needs to change more toward the morality of spiritual behavior than trying to preach, God's going to bless you with a car, God's going to bless you with a house, God's going to give you some money, and God's, you know. going back to what you sound talking about, pornography and things of the sort, again, it's we need to get back to spiritual development and growth, but we need to surround it around families. We need to surround it to
correct.
Where families are learning these things and yeah, so.
You know, Pastor, when you said that, I thought about, remember Flip Wilson? And he used to always say, the devil made me do it. You know, no matter what he did, it was the devil made me do it. And a lot of times, even when we talk about sexuality and a lot of this stuff, this is not something that just started. It's something that's been going on for a long time, even in our homes. You know, I work with a lot of individuals and that are dealing with relationship issues, and people are sneaking doing certain things. Children are, you know, being exposed to so much stuff, whether it's in the media, from watching videos, whether it's just, you know, it's getting out of control. And a lot of individuals don't realize that it's out of control until it starts affecting them. Until they start seeing that their child is taking pictures of themselves and putting it on Snapchat or Facebook, or, you know, you got people, kids, teenagers showing body parts to each other. And you know, and it's like the parents sometimes really don't know what to do, even in the home. So then they start developing these habits. And when I was talking to my godbrother, who's probably listening, because he's also a pastor who was on my case about this topic, and one of the things that he was sharing with me, he was talking about the flesh, the world, Satan, habits. And he was saying how we must be submissive. And my question to him was, with this, what can we do? He said, the Holy Spirit got to change it. So then my question became, okay, but some people don't even know what the Holy Spirit is about. They don't even know, you pray, you ask for deliverance, you do all of this. But there are still people that are still struggling. Is it just because of the habit? Is it because, you know, of just the lust? It's just one of those things. And when we talk about leading by example, I was, like I said, this topic has just been all over the place. I was watching the TV yesterday, on Friday, and they had a person named Pastor Knott, and they had a Knott's camp. And one of the things that, and this was like, oh, this was so out of control, they had parents sending people to Knott's camp because he was claiming to conduct what they call gay conversion. He was whooping them with a belt, and they found it was child abuse, and they sentenced him to 20 years in Alabama. And they were talking about Bible or belt. You know, and one of the things I used to tell people, even with my clients, I used to be like, you know what, they need a whooping. But sometimes you can't give people a whooping. And this was actually on 2020 on Friday night. They had a whole documentary about the church and parents, because parents drop their kids off and they'll say, fix them. They'll even do it to the church. I remember there used to be, when I was a kid growing up, your parent would put you on the church bus just to send you to church because the parents didn't know what to do with you. So they'll send you to church, wanting the church to, what parents say, fix them. What do you think about that, Pastor?
Well, I was one of those too. Where I remember being a kid and my mom would put us on the bus to go to church, and the interesting part was, this particular bus that would pick us up will reward us with candy if we had brought the most people. So as I got older, I started to realize that when I reflect back on that, I realized that it really didn't help me that my mom would put me on a bus to go to church, because what I learned at home was contrary to what I was learning at the church.
That is so true.
My mom wasn't going to church, so I'm thinking, well, if my mama ain't going, is maybe, I don't know if she don't have an interest in it, if she don't like going to church or not, but why is she sending me? But like when I say, when I reflect back on it, I start to, it taught me how to conduct my own home. For instance, every morning when I wake up, Before my wife go to work, before I go to work, I kiss my wife goodbye. I give her a kiss, my kids. We all leaving at the same time. I kiss my kids goodbye, and I tell my wife how good she looks. I love you. And it was just interesting. Just this morning, it dawned on me. Why do I kiss my kids goodbye? And some people kiss their kids goodbye and tell them they love you because they sense this is the last, this could be the last time you ever see them. Well, I have a different approach. My approach is because I remember how I remember my daughter telling me when she went to school one day, some boy asked her to kiss her. Now, my daughter's only 9 years old. You know, she's 9 years old. What you mean, give you a kiss? So this morning, I kissed her, and I told my wife I love her. And this morning, I kissed my daughter and told her I love you. But this is what I want you to remember. I kissed you because I love you, and you are a beautiful young lady. And if anybody ever come up to you again and ask you, can I get a kiss? Tell them my daddy already handled that this morning, so there's no need.
Wow.
There's no need for you to ask me.
Because
you got to be careful, especially with your children today, even with marriages too. You got to, as a man has to remember to compliment his wife all the time. Because if you don't, another man will. I want my wife to hear me tell her she looked good, so that when another man tells her, girl, you look good, and she, all she needs to say is, I know, my husband told me this morning. You know, so so these are the things that I try to express to my family, the things that I want them to know when and these things happen in my home. You know, it happens in my home, my job, even when I'm teaching my kids about work. I don't work for money. I work for my family. I work so I can support you. I work so I can put food on the table for you. That's what I'm working for. It's not about the money. It's because of my love for you. That's what I do. I educate myself because I love what God has given me. I think that it's, you know, and so even I think education and all aspects of it is just an important thing. I tell my church sometimes, and they laugh at me, that I read women magazines sometimes. Why you read women magazines? Well, because I don't know everything about a woman. I want to know, you know, the things about women that I don't know. And what better to hear it from a woman? You know, and there's some things that my wife go through that she can't explain. I need another woman to explain it. So I read women's magazines, you know, to find out things of why she feels the way she feels, why she thinks the way she thinks, and, you know, things like that. I think it's important. It helps me to deal when I'm talking with her or whatever situation come up and maybe – you know, that those books help me identify certain things. You know, makes me be careful of the grounds or the buttons I push, the grounds I step on, because it teaches me to understand a certain thing. So,
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that, because a lot of times we don't take the time to educate ourselves about certain things. And it's great that you also lead by examples, because a lot of times that's where we learn, is in the home. And a lot of times we were given mixed messages and we don't understand it. You know, and I had to even learn with my mother. My mother didn't know no better, because with my mother, with three girls, my mother tried to take us to the church. And, you know, we saw a lot of things. I saw a lot of things. I always tell the story of how my mother was depressed and went to church and fell in love and got pregnant by the preacher. Made me scared of preaching, you know. So when you see things, and so now we're trying to bring people back in and trying to teach them about love. And there's two different things I want to say, and then I'm going to let Heather speak on that too.
But when we talk about love, I remember my sister told me one time with her behavior, and, you know, I always saw a lot of women in my family I felt was very promiscuous, and they would think that that would be a way of drawing attention or getting love. And I remember one time my sister, we had a conversation, and my sister was very beautiful, but in my opinion, always had a very low self-esteem about herself. I don't know what it was. But she told me one day, I asked her, I said, why was you always doing this and that and that? My sister told me I was trying to find me a husband ever since I was 12 years old. I was like, wow. So that made me, and what I heard from her was, if I engage in these behaviors, if I engage into these acts, somebody will love me and marry me. And that was a false belief. So when we start seeing this in children, sometimes we have to try to redirect that. And then I also want to say is last night I was watching a show with my daughter, and Steve Harvey had a lot of kids on there, and it was, I can't think of the name of it, but these kids were very talented. And the little boy, I think he was 9 years old and had a 15-year-old girlfriend in the audience. And Steve Harvey was like, you got a what? He was like, well, my girlfriend is with me. Your girlfriend? And he was either 9 or 7. Pastor, what do you say about that when you see these kids that are talking about my boyfriend, my girlfriend, and sometimes even in your church, even in the community, even at school? I was a bus driver. I used to see it on the school bus. What do we do in regards, because we're trying to teach them how to engage in healthy relationships and develop a healthy sexuality?
Well, I think you're talking about the little big shots.
Yes, that's
that
what it was.
Show Steve Harvey, the little big shots.
That's the name of that little boy. He had all the confidence in the world. Talking about his girlfriend was in the audience. He probably was like, yo, what? Did you say your girlfriend? And he sung the national anthem, is what he sung on the show. It had an awesome voice. But he was talking about his girlfriend, and other kids watching that will be thinking, well, why I don't have a girlfriend or why I don't have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that particular show, but just imagining the psychological aspect from it, I can see a 15-year-old girl being attracted to the talent. I can see a 15-year-old girl being attracted to not necessarily a 7-year-old boy or a 9-year-old boy. I see her attracted to what the 9-year-old boy possesses, what he has. And if you look at our society today, that has turned into what people love. They think love,
correct,
they don't really love the person. They love what the person can do, what the person can give them, what the person has, the talent they have. I mean, you know, and so I look at it as she's been trained or she's learned this behavior from her environment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the little girl is from, but obviously, obviously she's in that 15-year-old. I look at a 15-year-old as that adolescent stage where you are in that age where you're trying to find out what you want to be when you grow up and what you want to do, and you're thinking about relationships. You're thinking about, I want to have a baby one day. I want to get married. And when they start looking at boys, they're looking at what they have to be, what the kid can do, how it can benefit them, and that's how I see our society going. You know, people are marrying just because they had a baby, not because I love you, not because you got a job no more, not because you are faithful to me, but we had a baby, we might as well get married, and you know, and I don't know. And then when I look at the boy, when I can imagine this little kid that goes on the stage and he's 7 or 9 years old saying that I got a 15-year-old boy or girlfriend, Where is your mother? What does your father think about this? What does your mother think about this? And obviously, you must think this is okay. You done brought the girl with you, which tells you why the kid that's a 7 to 9 year old think that it's okay, because their parents must think it's okay. They're allowing this girl to travel with them, you know. And so this is so tells you the mentality of the parent. You know, tells you the mentality of the 15-year-old girl's parent. You know, was her parents in the audience? If not, I mean, she had to get on the flight to go to the show, too.
Correct. I was just amazed at that, just hearing that. Now, Heather, I want to bring you into this conversation because now here we have a young man. Like I said, I don't know his exact age, if it was 7 or 9, but, I mean, he was talented. He did have a gift. And when we start looking at that, and it takes us back into, you know, when we start talking about the love, the sex, the flesh, and healthy sexual relationships and our sexualities, and this kid, you know, just boasting about having a girlfriend, and she, like sometimes individuals, they say, well, the person wasn't attracted to me, they was attracted to the anointing. Or this person may have been attracted to his talent because that kid could sing. But then if this young lady starts engaging and acts with this kid, and now this kid has been exposed to sex at a very, very young age, would you say that this is some of the things that we also see in our practice when we start talking about, you know, sexuality and kids, and they start developing because they've been exposed to certain things, whether it's pornography or, you know, and sexual behaviors? What do you have to say about that, Heather?
You know, I think that we really do need to be aware of what our children are exposed to. And obviously in a case like this, you know, we do have to look at the parents. You know, something like this where a relationship is known not only to the parents, but now is on national TV. You know, we would want to know what's going on for the parents and what exactly this relationship looks like, you know. And I think, of course, distinguishing, you know, innocent, you know, childhood, quote unquote, boyfriend relationships, as opposed to something that becomes sexual in some way. You know, and I think we need to be realistic about the fact that, you know, the average age of exposure, first exposure to pornography is age 8. And that can be really hard for parents to acknowledge, you know, that their child is being exposed to sexually explicit material, whether it's in their own home or from a classmate at school, or lots of different ways that kids are first introduced to sexuality. And that's why it's so important for parents to not be afraid to talk to their children about sexuality, because kids are going to learn it somewhere. You know, I had friends, you know, when I was in college, I went to a Christian college, and I had classmates who had either grown up being homeschooled or went to Christian schools their whole life or went to public schools, but their parents opted them out of sex ed. And these were people who just didn't understand how biology worked. They didn't understand, you know, how anatomy came together. And because of those misunderstandings, they were engaging in sexual behaviors that they just didn't understand because no one had taught them. And so it's our responsibility as adults to, first of all, be mindful of the fact that our children are going to be exposed to sexual material, whether we are aware of it or not. And because of that, we need to take initiative. You know, rather than waiting for your kids to come and ask you about something, you need to be open. You know, that doesn't mean you need to be, you know, sharing about your own sex life with your kids. You know, that would be inappropriate. But you need to let your kids know that you're open to questions. You need to help them understand their own bodies. You know, this is how your body works. This is how the opposite sex body works if, you know, you're into the opposite sex. You know, helping our children really to understand themselves and relationships, because they're going to be exposed and you want them to learn it from you. You know, if you want your children to grow up with a certain set of values, then you have to be the one to teach it. And, you know, you guys had talked earlier about, you know, parents sending their kids off to church camp for whatever value system that is. And then, like you said, they come back home and those value systems aren't being taught in the home. And so it really undermines what you're trying to teach because you're not following up with it at home. And so, you know, we can't outsource the way that we're going to raise our children. You know, if you want your family to have certain values, you have to be the one to teach. And when it comes to sexuality, they're going to learn it from somewhere. You know, there's a therapist who talks about, you know, she's particularly interested in younger men. And, you know, this generation of younger men has gotten their sex education primarily through pornography. And so when it came time to consummate their sexual relationship, they had questions about how to do that because all they knew was pornography. They didn't know how to have a real intimate connection with another person. They only knew how to orgasm. And it really has shaped an entire generation of people because they've only gotten their sexual education through one source rather than having that education be rooted in their value system. And that's, I mean, that's one of the primary things that I help people with is to really understand, you know, what are your values? What are the things that are really important to you? And how do you connect those deep values to your sexuality? You know, rather than your sexuality being separate from your values and priorities, how can you integrate it so that your sexuality is an expression of your values and priorities?
Well, I want to share some information that I picked up on when I was watching the show Sunday. Like I said, it kind of gave me confirmation in regards to the purpose of putting this show together. And one of the things, because I was watching it, it was called Beyond Today, and they talked about in regards to denial is the first step. We have to come out of this denial. We have to come out of this, you know, our attitudes, our beliefs, and our perceptions can change once we get more information. When we talk about dating in the church, when we start talking about people shacking up, as which the old folks used to call it, is shacking up, living together. And, you know, and some people don't believe in marriage. And some people say, well, it's just a piece of paper. It is a commitment. But we have to go back and look at our values, our moral system. And we know that nobody is perfect. People go do what they want to do. But there's always going to be a price for what we do. And one thing, I grew up, well, not grew up, when I moved to Oceanside in the 80s, one of the churches that I went to was Friendly's Church of God in Christ. And the one thing is I love my pastor because my pastor was an older pastor. We didn't have a whole lot of stuff with our pastor, but he educated and he taught, and he was very disciplined. And even when I got in trouble, he would come and call me daughter, and I would like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, you know. But the one thing he would say is, I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, and we don't. But by that same token, we do have to be careful with what message and what the information that we are giving to other people. We have to be, because we're going to be held accountable for that. But one of the things is we have to acknowledge when we're having a problem. Because seeking help is one of the first things that you can do to get you out of denial. Because one of the things is we have to find a person that we can talk to that we feel comfortable enough to face our fears. And one of the things, Pastor, I want to say is because I've been having people email me, text me, Facebook me that are in the church that are struggling with pornography, that are struggling with the flesh, that are struggling, and they don't know where to go because even though we have to pray for one another, sometimes they're afraid to even go to their pastor and say, Pastor, I'm having a problem, or anything like that. So what normally happens is they get busted. You know, I was watching the news, and I saw something with the Catholic churches where something just happened recently on the news where a whole bunch of them are in trouble. But, Pastor, why is it that a person got to get in trouble before they go get some help?
Well, that goes with the your leadership being uneducated, first of all. I remember, and I know you're talking, when you said daughter, you're talking about Pastor Hammond, which was, I grew up, my father grew up under him as well. And here's the thing. You keep saying people struggle, they struggle, they struggle. That's the part that I like. Because to me, when you're struggling with something, that means you're fighting. Yeah, you're fighting with something. That, to me, shows spiritual growth is taking place because your spirit is fighting against your flesh. Your flesh wants to do things that are not right, and you're in your spirit, you're struggling against your flesh to stop doing these things. I don't want to do these things. That's where leadership have to step up and say, encourage them and commend them for the fight. You're not going to win every battle. That's just the truth. If leadership would be honest, they could reveal something that they do wrong too. And there's, yeah, in everybody's life, there's a place where you feel that you're set free in one area, and then in another area you feel that you just need to be delivered. You know, I need help in these parts. And the truth is that in our leadership in the church, a lot of folks, we're so old school that we have not learned that the ways of the people have changed with the times. Because you remember, my father passed away, if he was here, I think he'd be 67 years old or something like that, 67 years old. And he grew up in that era where, you know, you ought not be shacking, you ought not be living together if you're not married.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand that. And the truth is I agree. I just don't adopt the term shacking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it personally because of my era. The fact that the fact of the matter is, I don't want to come to you as I'm old school, because people that are young ain't trying to hear that no more. So
we have to find
a way to be able to relate to the situation that they're in, to be able to teach them better. So my thing is that, I mean, I have an older son. He's 21 years old, and he has a girlfriend, and they decided that they wanted to move in together. Well, I told them this. Well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to move in with each other. Now your temptations are going to be greater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just the truth. Your temptations is going to be greater, and if you know you're not strong enough, the Bible teaches us about putting yourself in the position of reproach. If you can't handle it, don't deal with that. Stop putting yourself in a position that you cannot handle. That takes discipline in itself. We have to learn how to say no to ourselves, not just no to other folks.
Mm-hmm.
Saying no to other people is one thing, but being able to say no to yourself, being able to be responsible for yourself, and that is where we have a problem in the church, is that we have the church today is being ran by a lot of irresponsible leadership.
Yeah.
It's easy for a pastor to get up and say, you ought not be shacking when you marry. You ain't got to deal with y'all. You ought not be having sexual relationships. That's fornication. Well, you don't have to deal with fornication because you're married.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but you know what?
So
and then sometimes the pastors be going through their stuff too and don't know where to go get some help. You know, because we got to be careful with that because the spirit is crazy and the temptation. You spoke on the temptation. And they say resist the devil and the devil shall flee. But when you're struggling, and like I said, and dealing with the temptations and the flesh and the division, and one thing I tell people, and even in therapy, I tell people, you have to connect before you can correct. So I got to connect with you. And in the church, if individuals start connecting, then people will be more apt to hear. I had a person, it was so funny in group the other day, I was doing a DV group, and the man told another man, put your hand by your ear. And he put his hand there. He said, that way, when I say what I got to say, it won't go nowhere. You know, because you know how we say go through one ear and out the other ear? People be like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and still do what they want to do. And I thought that was a real cute technique. Just put your hand by your ear and just listen. You know, let me tell you something. That way it can't go nowhere. So I agree with what you're saying in regards to the leadership and people being honest. And meeting people where they are to try to help them connect, to try to bring people in, because there's a lot of individuals that do want to be helped, don't know where to go, don't know what to do. And it's real interesting, but we do have to try to, you know, they say when you know better, you do better. Okay? I'm going to let you finish, Pastor. I know we got 5 minutes and 55 seconds left.
Okay. And it also goes with we talked a little bit about environment also. The thing is, too, is who you, like you said, who you're connected with. Before you can correct, you got to connect. The question is who you're connected with. I have a lot of people that I know. There's a lot of people I know. But there's not a lot of people I'm connected with. The people that I'm with daily
are people who can hold me accountable. Those are my real friends. Those are my real friends. I know that they're going to, they have my best. I trust them with my information. I trust them with things that I can tell, that I can't tell my mama. I can't tell my father. I trust them with that information because they understand what trust is. They understand what accountability is. They understand where I'm trying to go with my life, and they agree, and they support that. And that's where people have to start connecting with people. I think that if people would stop calling everybody your friend and start getting some people around you that can hold you accountable to the direction of life that you choose to go, that you want to go, that you're all the things that you're struggling with. I mean, if there's a if there is a situation that you're struggling with, and when the temptations come, you ought to be able to pick up that phone and say, "Hey, I have a problem. You know, I have a problem here. I need to talk right now. I just need you to be on the phone with me. Just hear me out or whatever." You know, those to me are people that we need to be connected with. You know, I think that will help a lot of people. You know, especially with like when you talk about pornography. When you talk about things in the church, I think like at our church, a lot of people don't want to come to me and tell me about their situations. So what we have is support groups. We have support groups, accountability partners that we have in there, to where they can call these people, or they talking with them, and we have you know, just that time where you can spend with a mentor. And usually it's someone that's around your age, but a little bit more experienced in dealing with the issues that you deal with. You know, that way it's not biased. It's not that, it's that way you can't tell me I struggle with pornography and then that person turn on you and say, "Well, man, you need to get your life together." No, because that person did too.
Correct. Correct. And they, it's like I said, nobody's perfect. Now, I want to give out some information. We only have a couple of minutes left. When I was watching the information on TV, which was on the Word Channel Beyond Today, they had some information, and I'm going to add it to my Facebook page. So if you want to find me on Facebook, you can go under Jeanette Abney, LMFT, and that's on my Facebook. And basically they have information in regards to how to quit porn and overcoming pornography. They also had a number if you want to call and order the magazine to basically be able to help you. Even though, Pastor, you did an awesome job, and so did you, Heather. I appreciate you guys being a guest. But one of the things, Pastor, that you indicated, you touched on three steps that they talked about. And even though we know that you, it talked about is you don't have to be perfect, but one will need a support system and rely on their Heavenly Father. And also the Heavenly Father will never leave or forsake them. They say, first, admit the problem. Two, seek help from your Heavenly Father. Three, seek wise counsel. And then you can learn to break free from the problem, even if you don't believe you have a problem. But one of the number is 888-886-8632. And like I said, I am going to post a lot of the information on my Facebook page in regards to what they have in regards to articles and things of that nature. So I want to invite you to join me next week at Blog Talk Radio at Precious Predicaments, as we're going to be talking about why people cheat. I'm going to have Alicia Lavener. She's an infidelity specialist. We're going to be talking about relationships, try to help maintain relationships, talk about those temptations as what we talked about and why people step out in relationships, to try to help keep people together, to help keep families together. But one of the things is we are going to have to go back to education. We're going to have to go back to adjusting our attitudes, our beliefs, our values, our morals. And even if it was okay with you, that's fine. But when, like I said, when you know better, you do better. Again, I want to thank you for joining us today here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. And until next week, remember, you got this. Thank you for listening. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Heather.
Talk to you guys later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.